Blog Talk Radio.
Praising, join your life. We're going to do a song as a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Having the
right attitude, maintaining a positive attitude. These are some things we have to do without murmuring and disputing. If you're going to have a positive attitude, maintain a positive attitude, you do it without murmuring and disputing. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 14, and it simply tells us there to do everything from the New Living Translation. Do everything without complaining and arguing, murmuring and disputing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Why do you think complaining and arguing is so harmful? If all that people know about the church is that members constantly argue. If that's the only thing that people know about the church is that people argue, complain, gossip, when they see this, when they understand that this is basically what's going on in the church, they get a false, watch this now, they get a false impression of Christ. They get a false impression of what this gospel that we preach about should be. If all that people know about the church, all they do is fuss, complain, argue, fight amongst one another, that's a false impression that the God we serve is a good God. It's a holy God. Because they don't see anything holy. Huh? They don't see anything good. They don't see any kindness. No type of pleasantry in the kingdom. But all people see somebody complaining. Somebody argue, then they want to turn around and tell you, trust in the Lord. Yeah, you need to trust Him, but every time I see you, you don't have nothing good to say. You in the house of God. You even hold an office. But there's nothing good that you say. It's all complaining, murmuring, arguing. And when people see this, then they see us, that just hit me. See, something just hit us now. Think that's the Holy Spirit. That gives them a false impression of the God that we serve. Because how can we talk about how good this God is, how awesome, how wonderful He is, and this is what we say, but always talking about what's not right in the kingdom? If we are talking about this God, which is so holy and so omnipotent, omnipresent, and all omniscient and all powerful, we understand this. If we preach and we teach and we talk about, we sing about, we pray about this God, should not we be encouragers of the word one to another? Should something pleasant be coming out of our mouth even when something negative is around? If we trust this God that we talk about, we preach about, we sing about, even in a chaotic situation, we ought to still have or maintain a positive attitude when all hell around us has broken loose. We trust, we love him, but we find ourselves in the midst of some trouble and we can't even handle it. We don't know how to deal with certain situations. Eventually that gives people a false impression of your faith. Because you really don't believe and trust like you say or you claim to believe and trust. This is what it says. Do everything without complaining and arguing. If we're going to be lights, we got to let our light shine. If we want to be a light for Christ in this world of sin, we got to let our light shine in dark situations. How is it that we are the light of the world, but darkness has overshadowed our light? No one knows that you're a light when you get in dark situations. What's the problem with our lights? Complaining, it dims our light. Arguing, it dims our light. It dims our light. Negativity, it dims your light. So all of a sudden, your light has gone out. And it's hard to get it back. That's why we find ourselves, watch this now, that's why we find ourselves in situations where we see, it seems as though what, tears just can't stop from falling. Because we have a problem getting our light started again. Same situation. We can't get out of. So the tears just keep coming. That same thing continues to bother you. Because it's hard to get your light started again. Because when it seems like it's about to get started, or it's like you're about to get a jump, here comes another situation that causes you to complain or argue. So your light goes out again. It gives a false impression. Belief in Christ should unite those who trust him. When you believe, there should be unity. When the body of Christ believes, the body should be united. Because your belief brings you together. So what is it? Somebody might not be a believer. Somebody just may be putting on a facade. Because if we have the attitude of Christ, even when there's disagreement, the mind of Christ will supersede the disagreement because we're walking together. And when we're walking together, that means we can put aside our thoughts and let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. But if you haven't committed yourself to him, you won't even know what his mind is like. Something else got your mind. Because a lot of folks still straddle in the fence. I'm 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Because I don't totally want to give my life to Christ to let this mind be in him that's also in Christ, in me that's also in Christ Jesus. I still want this fleshly mind. So when I have to tell somebody off, I just switch over to this side. But when I want the Lord to bless me, hallelujah, praise the Lord. What do you need? You need me to help you with something. Then the next minute, I'm back on this side. I got issues. Arguing, complaining with other people, about people, about a fellow brother or sister in Christ. And you still want God to bless you? Think about it. Christians putting down Christians. Talking about your brother, your sister in Christ. And you want the Father to bless you. But you're doing your brother and sister wrong. So Father, bless me for doing my brother and sister wrong, talking about them, lying on them, trying to kill the character. I want you to bless me now, because I'm still coming every week. I still call your name. So I want you to bless me. God looking at you and saying, you fool. Have we really let some stuff set in our minds when we look at our lives? Have we really just looked at our lives and see how our lives are going and thought about, okay, maybe I got to get this thing right? Because when we treat each other wrong, God allow us to go through some stuff. But then we try to put it on something else. No, stop and look at your life. Check your attitude. A lot of things we go through is because of our attitudes. A lot of problems that we have stem from our attitude. We complain about the people and the conditions within the church, instead of letting the world see Christ. Yeah, church ain't gonna never do that. Church ain't gonna never grow. Church ain't gonna move forward. Ain't gonna accomplish nothing. But you want God to bless your house. Come on. Do you understand, people of God, when we talk about the house of God, you're saying, God, I don't want your house to prosper. I don't want your house to move forward. I don't want your house to grow. Nothing to be accomplished in your house. But Lord, enlarge my territory. Bless my house. And you're talking against his. You want great things to happen for your family. But you putting his family down. God, watch over my family, but let them go through something. Put them through something, God. But help me with my situation. Are we still here? Our lives should be characterized by moral purity, patience, peacefulness, so that we will shine brightly in a dark and depraved world. We ought to have some morals, some standards about ourselves. Our thoughts ought to be true. Our love should be genuine, should be pure, huh? We should be at a point in our lives where we have some patience. Some folk don't have no patience. And been in the church a long time. No peacefulness amongst you. Because you're upset, you want everybody else to be upset. Your life ain't going right, so you want everybody else's life to be disrupted. You want folk to feel like you. I'm down, I want you to be down right along with me. So I'll do whatever it takes for you to have a bad day. Your light has gone out. I was telling the choir members today, sitting there, sometimes you just got to get by yourself and just let some stuff out. Come on. I told them, sometimes I just ride in my car by myself, and I just let some stuff out. Tears just start falling. And you have to do that. In other words, sometimes you got to release some stuff, but you got to know how to release it. Things that you go through, things that you're dealing with, you know, okay, God, it's just me and you now. You know my heart, you know how I'm feeling, so you got to let some stuff out and let it go and let it go. By the time I get out of the car, I know I got work to do. because I done released it to him.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Hmm? I let it go. So when I get out, I know I got a duty to perform. I got some work to do for the king. And I won't let that hinder me from doing what God has called me to do. But sometimes people bring that in the house with them. Because we don't have any sense to know how to let stuff go. Come on, you will be a fool. As my coach used to say, a stupid, dumb fool. To hold something hot in your hand. And you know it's burning your hand. And you won't let it go. You just holding it. This is hot. And you just going, oh, you a stupid, dumb fool. Hmm? Some stuff you got to let go. Watch. When you start letting some stuff go, when you learn how to maintain a proper attitude, when you learn how to do that, you're going to find yourself, your blood pressure going to be all right. Hmm? That's going to, your health will get a whole lot better. Sometimes we make ourselves sick. We keep sickness amongst ourselves because we refuse to just let some stuff go. Let it go and let God work in you. Are you here? So we'd rather complain, argue about petty things to keep us from getting the blessing that God has for us. Sometimes the enemy will come in, and when he comes in, when you got a relationship with the Lord, you get to the point, well, I'm just done, I'm gonna give up, I'm ready to throw in the towel, you know, I'm ready to just go do something foolish, huh? But then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, hold on. The enemy knows you're just at the brink of your breakthrough. So if I can get your mind to go left when you should be going right, you just forfeit. You right here at your breakthrough. You're right here at your blessing. You're right here at your miracle. So the enemy now comes in and he messes with your mind to keep you from getting to it because he knows how close you are. So when you go back with him, he just, oh, I got me another stupid dumb fool. You was a day from your blessing. But you allow the enemy to come in and push you back. And who knows how long it's going to take for you to get back to that place where you were. Because that, watch this, that means you got to go through some more hell, some more trouble, some more disappointments. You got to go through a whole lot of stuff again. And sometimes it may double itself. It may be a whole lot worse. You right there. But then you turn around and forfeit it, give it up. A transformed life is an effective witness to the power of God. Folk ought to see that your life has changed. A transformed life. Come on, because they know what you were doing. They know who you were. They know how you were. They know what you were doing when you were doing. Huh? A transformed life is an effective witness to this world. Because we When people know how you are, they know how you were before you gave your life totally over to the Lord and accepted Him. They knew how you were, and now when they see you now, that's an effect that will come in them, that will let them see, look, there got to be a God. Huh? Because I know how you were. I know what you would do. You would go off in a Mississippi minute. I know. I see a change in you. Your life is the biggest sermon that this world will ever see. When they see your life, they see a change have come about you, and they want to, man, look, if God can do something for you like He did with you, surely there's hope for me. And when we put on this facade of phoniness and fakeness and all things fickle and all this, when people see that, oh, you just coming in here just to show, oh, yeah, I know how to wave my hand, but when I get back out there, look, I ain't even got to get back out there. I still say it right in the midst of the church. People are not afraid of God anymore. And what they will say in the house of God. How they act in the house of God. People don't care. They don't care. So now, here you are. People are looking at, no, you still the same. You ain't nothing changed. You go into that church and you still acting foolish. You go into that church, you still cussing folk out. You go into that church and you still doing all this dirt in the street. But you in that church. Now, I want to go to that church you going to because the same church you going to and you doing all this here. Something wrong with that church. No, it ain't nothing wrong with the church. It's something wrong with you. You're the one that's fake. You're the one that's phony. A transformed life. Is an effective witness. I see folk all the time, and I know they know me, especially when they say preacher man. Somebody, hold on. They know me from college. And now they say, preacher man, well, I remember, but look at you now, man. I enjoy watching you, what you're doing. Stay, keep doing what you're doing. I see the change in you because I know how you were. And watch, people come to me and say, man, preacher man, I watch you and I seen how you change. Now, look, a whole lot of them are preachers now. A whole lot of the football team are preachers now. Deacons. A lot of people that went to school with me. And they seen my life change. They are in the church now. Walking and running for the Lord. Because they seen a transformed life. And it was an effective witness. When I come to the school for homecoming, when I go back and chill out, I don't do all the stuff I used to do. Y'all, preacher man, you hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate you. We love you. We love to see what you do. And that's joy to know. That somebody's life been touched or changed based on what they see for somebody they used to run with. If you can run with folk and they don't see a change in you, but you change back to them, something is wrong. You've been coming into the house of God and you going back out there and you still running with the same people and they see no change in you. You still act the same way, do the same stuff. talk the same way? Surely you can't get in the car because there's no change in you. You can't witness to them. They don't want to hear you. What makes you think somebody want to hear you and you still doing the same stuff? And not just doing it, but doing more than what they're doing. You off the chain. They be like, my God, you know they talking about you. That's why they come and tell you this. I ain't going to church till I get right. Because I don't want to play with God. They got sense enough to know. Look, y'all missed that. They got sense enough to know in the world, look, I ain't going to play with God. But we don't care. We just play with it. Ring around the road with merry-go-round, hopscotch, whatever, folks. But we just play with it. Like, it ain't nothing. But sinners got more sense than saints. I don't like that one. They know not to play with God. I ain't gonna play with God. Our churches have become more of a fashion statement than a passion statement. There's more fashion in the church than there is passion. The church ought to be a place where you come in and you see that it is amazing, not amusing. It should be amazing when folk come into the house and not amusing. Because there's a difference. Are y'all getting this tonight? So are you shining brightly? Or are you partly cloudy? Thunderstorm. Are you cloudy? Clouded by what? Clouded by complaining. Can't see nothing. Clouded by arguing. Clouded by being hateful. Clouded by being envious. Clouded with the jealousy. Clouded with the covetousness. What's clouding your spirit? What's causing dark clouds in your life? Is the day going to be bright, shiny, or is the day going to be dark and cloudy? Whatever you get up with in the morning, if you get up talking about, oh, this day ain't turning out right, that your day going to be bad the whole day. If you get up and your mind tell you, okay, today going to be a beautiful day, then today going to be a beautiful day regardless of what comes your way, whatever come across your path, you going to make sure your day is a beautiful day. Don't let nothing get on me. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to have a nice, shiny day today. Even though it may be dark outside, but I'm still going to be shining. Don't let dissension snuff out your light. You got to get to the point where you're going to shine. You're going to let the bling bling shine out for God. Folks going to know who you are. because we really our role is to shine until Jesus returns. We have a duty to do. We have a obligation to let our light shine until Jesus returns. And when he returns, he's gonna give this world a bath with his radiant glory. He's going to really do some clean. You gotta stop the murmuring and complaining. And by doing this, you got to have a positive attitude. Even though things may not look right, you still got to have a positive attitude. Like I told you before, you can look out there in the field and see trees. And that's all you see. All them trees out there. But when y'all look out there, I see more than trees. I see buildings. I see a city. Because you got to know how to see the positive even in the negative. I see a building full. Because what's the purpose of having all these pews or seats? You don't have plan on having it filled up. That be the case, everybody need to bring their own chair every week. Then guess what? The church will be full. Y'all missed out. Everybody come to church. Bring your own chair. Guess what? It won't be no room. It'll be full that day. Can't nobody say there's no empty seats. We were full. We were packed out. Got 10 people. We were packed out. We ain't had no more seats. That's what the church gonna have to get to. If we're not doing our part, if we want a packed house, everybody going to have to start bringing their own chair like when they go out to Jazz in the Garden. If we continue to not let our light shine and maintain a positive attitude, living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation can easily get us down where we can become constant complainers. You got some folk that just don't say nothing good. No, always got something. Something is always going wrong with us. Hold on. You mean to tell me you don't have nothing good that happened to you? Every day there's a different situation, a different problem. Why? I don't want to hear that. And you've been in the church 45 years. What God you been serving? Who you been worshiping? We can become constant complainers. We're so used to doing it over and over and over again. Just like the boy cried wolf. Can't get nothing done. Too busy complaining. But allowing that to happen will render us less effective. Can't get nothing done. And as with Israel, murmuring can lead to our downfall. Let me go right there. Let me see how much time I got left. Okay, I got about 7 minutes. Started about 7 after 7. I got about 7 minutes. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Go to verse 10 and 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Your murmuring, your complaining, your arguing can lead you to your downfall. So now that's why things ain't working out for me. That's why I'm continuing to go through all this hell. That's why I can't make ends meet. I'm having all these problems. Children ain't acting right. Spouse going crazy. Can't stay on a decent job. Body's still messed up. Sickness. All the time. That's why my complaining, my murmuring, my arguing have led to my downfall. And don't grumble from the New Living Translation. And don't grumble as some of them did. And then were destroyed by the angel of death. Paul, he warned the Corinthian believers not to grumble. He warned them, look, don't act the fool. He warned the Corinthian believers. He warned the true praise believers. He warned them, look, don't grumble, don't act the fool. Don't get out of your character. We start to grumble when our attention shifts from what we have to what we don't have. We get upset when we don't have something that we think we need to have. So that's the shift that comes and takes place. Because somebody else got it. You think you should have got it first. You start to grumble and complain because you don't have it, but they have it. The people of Israel didn't seem to notice what God was doing for them. And a lot of us in the body of Christ don't know or don't notice what God is doing for us. Look, some things you don't have because it'll hold you down. Some things you don't have is because God is trying to set you free. God is trying to keep you from going into a state of depression. So he don't give it to you. Because if God bless some folk right now, say with $1 million, and you went and bought everything that you thought you can buy. You think you got it going on. And all of a sudden you lose it. you'll lose your mind. So some of us, God is trying to set us free from all the heartache and headache and the suicide that we're going to commit. You missed that. Some folk will get to the point of committing suicide. So God said, I got to free you from that. I won't even let you see that type of lifestyle. I won't let you attain it. He tried to get their attention, setting them free, making them a nation, giving them a new land. God wants to give you something new, something that he knows you can handle. He wants to give you something he knows you can handle. They were so wrapped up in what God wasn't doing for them. And that's where we are. I ain't got my income tax yet. God, why? Because he know you ain't going to give him none. Then he allowed it to be cut. Y'all missing it, huh? We've been doing so much wrong with stuff, so now God is cutting some things, allowing some things to be cut. Now we really upset because we paying back more. We getting less back. We so wrapped up in what he's not doing for. You ain't blessing me fast enough. They could think of nothing but the delicious Egyptian food they had left behind. You mean to tell me? You know, brought me out of these big old nice houses. This big old ministry I'm used to going to. Bring me out here in this wilderness with a bunch of complaining folk, arguing people, fighting against one another, trying to tap somebody, trying to kill. You mean to tell me you done brought me from all this here and you ain't doing all, I remember what all this here used to be filled up. Now I come out here in the wilderness and it's empty. Their mind was back on what they had in Egypt, even though they were slaves. I was a slave, but I sure enough had it going on. I didn't have to worry about nothing. They sure fed me good. I had a decent place to stay. I ain't have to lay down in no dirt. I had something to cover up with. And see, that's what we go at. Our minds just go back to how I used to live my life in the world. Oh, I had it going on. I did this, I did that. Now I done gave my life to the Lord. It looked like I ain't getting nothing. You don't even know what God is doing for you. You too busy looking about like what you had. How you used to dress, how much money you used to have, how you used to party, and how you used to have a good time. You coming in here, my life is dull now. I sit around, okay, every now and then I probably wave my hands. But you couldn't keep my hands from being down when I was up in the club. Hey, now, go. Hey, come on. Hey. You was all I'm talking about all.
Come on, Brenda. Hey.
many times they play it, you're going to jump up. You're going to get on to it. Whatever line dance they have, they play, you jumping up, and you know all. To the left. Ha. To the back. To the back. Cha-cha. Cha-cha. You going to get up there, and you going, I'm talking about you in it, you doing it. But when you come into the house of God, they still pray. I wish they hurry up. I got to go. I'm just going to go. Can't get your hands up. DJ tell you, two fingers in the air. Let me know you're out there. We come into the house of God. Come on, give God some praise. Lift your hands up and wave at him. I ain't doing that. Wait, what do they want? They always want you to turn around and talk to your neighbor. And you DJ come and tell you, grab your partner. If it's good to you, hold on to it all night. You know, you be like, oh. You love your lady, but then. I've been there. You had your request. You go up there and tell the DJ to play this song. I don't care how many times. What you want to hear. But if church sang a song, why they always singing that song? They don't have no new song to sing. Come on. Complainers. And they can play the extended version. You going to stay there? They still shout, child. We want to stop the Lord's business. But we want the enemy's business to continue. And we want to continue with his business. And shortcut God and his business. Go. Judge Israel. Too harshly. Devil to think about what occupies our attention. What occupies your attention most of the time? It sure enough ain't church. It ain't the church. Are we grateful for what God has given us? Are we grateful for that, or are we always thinking about what we would like to have? Are we grateful for what he's done, or we just think about what I want? Look, don't allow your unfulfilled desires to cause you to forget God's gifts of life. What's his gift of life for us? Family, friends, food, health, and work. These are gifts that God has given us. Today's pressures make it easy to ignore or forget the lessons of the past. But Paul, he cautions us to remember the lessons the Israelite learned about God so we can avoid repeating their errors. The key to remembering is to study the Word of God on a regular basis so that these lessons will be able to remind us of how God wants us to live so we won't make these same mistakes over and over again. Amen. I'm done for tonight. I'm done. Amen. God bless you.